Welcome to the Lanesboro Radio Company's presentation of Over the Back Fence, a Commonwealth Theatre Company program from the new air-conditioned Commonwealth Theatre in beautiful downtown Lanesboro. We're coming to you over KFIL Preston 1060 AM and Chatfield 103.1 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Hal Krop. John Adams ring a bell? The mere mention of Ben Franklin make you want to fly a kite? Thinking about Betsy Ross gives you the urge to pick up a needle and thread? Worried about how the various elements of our great melting pot contributed to this great nation of ours? Well, ponder no further, for tonight's show is just for you. It's the Over the Back Fence salute to our founding fathers and mothers! Joining us to celebrate the birth of our nation and the people who made it possible, our special musical guest Mike Maccabee, youth musical guest Morgan Ming, the first installment of this year's Sam Spade Feline Detective, a visit from Lena Ann and all the usual suspects, Nancy Husengay, Steph Dickens, David Hennessy, and the Over the Back Fence gang. And joining me for co-hosting duties, the only man in Fillmore County who has to dig as deeply as I do to find his relationship to the founding fathers and mothers, my co-host, Token Damon Prestaman. Over the Back Fence is underwritten by Houston Dental Clinic, where your smile makes them happiest, and sponsored by Pedal Pushers Cafe,
Coffee Street Fitness,
The Cottage House Inn,
Rhino's Pizza and Sub Shop,
Los Gobles,
Stone Mill Suites,
Olivia's Attic,
Lanesboro Local Marketplace,
Mannion and Wheelock Attorneys,
Little River General Store,
Riverside on the Root Restaurant,
the Lanesboro Lions Club,
the Preston Apple and Berry Farm,
the Rochester Post Bulletin,
and Associated Bank Lanesboro! Bringing tonight's show to you is the Over the Back Fence gang, the ever-lovely Captain Bob Petrillo, our executive producer.
His assistant, glamorous Glenn Jensen.
His assistant, marvelous Maddie Haugen.
Internet guru, Jazzin' Jason Underfoot.
Artistic director, Stellar Stella Burt.
And Abigail Adams at the box office.
All right. Well, Damon, happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you too, Al.
It is always a pleasure to share the stage with you, especially on this marvelous holiday.
That's right. One of my favorite holidays of the year.
Mine too.
Mostly because you don't have to buy gifts.
True. Just hot dogs.
More of a man's kind of holiday. There's no shopping.
Well, no, there's the beer and the ice and the charcoal.
And you get to blow things up once it gets dark.
Well, that's true. And speaking of blowing things up, please welcome the Over the Back Fence gang to start us off with the land that we love.
Voices ring, America, so proudly we call you our home.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining.
Like
Over the Back Fence Gang, featuring Carolyn Frieson solo, conducted by David Mohn. Land that we love. Well, one of the great things about this show, unique to this radio show, is that every week, week in and week out, we get a chance to visit with the real folks whose generosity brings us into your homes week in and week out. And today, we're pleased and proud to welcome to the stage, representing Mannion & Wheelock attorneys, paralegal Damon Presteman. Damon, I'd like to begin by saying thanks to you from all of us, from the bottom of our hearts, for Mannion & Wheelock's generosity in helping to bring this show to the people of Lanesboro, the tens of homes listening throughout the radio area, and the 17 people who are in the audience tonight. We're all truly appreciative.
Well, it is our pleasure. And, of course, Tom was with Over the Back Fence from the very beginning.
Yes, he was.
Interestingly, I think that the studio audience here in the theater is looking at us a little suspiciously.
Why?
Because they think it's a gag, I think. I really do work there, folks. I really do.
Yeah, because he doesn't make money doing this, let me tell you.
That's for sure.
So, and what do you do there, Damon?
I am a paralegal. Involved?
And what does a paralegal do? Do
you, well, you
put
wear
like
a lot of
legals together?
Sure, you put two of them together.
And then you get a paralegal?
Yeah.
Okay.
He started it.
You want to come down? Here, you want to take the interview over, Miss Leaky Balloon? Huh? Nice.
A paralegal does a lot of the same things that an attorney does, just one thing different.
What's that?
We don't get paid the same.
That's the only thing that's different?
Well, there's some other things, too. We can't go advocate for a client in court.
So you can't stand up in court and go, Your
Correct.
Honor, I object.
Right. We don't get to do any of that
no.
fun stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm sure that one of these days you'll be able to get through that fun stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Take the bar and pass
All
it.
Right.
And then you'll stand in front of the judge and go, I object.
I object.
Your Honor. Sure.
Right.
There you go. Good. So, Mannion & Wheelock, what kind of practice is it?
They are a general practice.
They're a general practice. That means that they don't deal with enlisted people?
That's right. I think that you should treat the sponsors of this program much better. Now, when I'm over
there...
When
they show up, generally I do.
When I'm over in the other seat, you can, you know, you can do what you need to do. But
okay,
I'm
good.
Over here in the money seat.
I'm going to write that. I'm
over here in the check seat.
I'm going to take this pen. I'm going to write down all the snide comments that I'm going to save until later in the show. And now I'll just be serious.
All right, let's talk about what is in a general practice.
What is in a general practice?
They do most law generally.
Very good.
Excellent.
And
I will actually answer your question since I know that the
today?
Next question is not going to be very good. In a general practice, we do all kinds of different law. That includes criminal defense,
yes.
family law,
okay.
and wills and trusts, you know, estate planning type stuff.
Okay.
And we handle all kinds of other things too, like
a lot real estate law,
real estate transactions
yeah.
and real estate law.
Now,
yes.
One of your partners is continues to serve as a city attorney for Lanesboro, correct?
That is correct. Mr. Mannion is the city attorney here in Lanesboro.
And so does civic litigation take a significant
portion
of time?
It does at times, yes. It does at times.
And does Mr. Wheelock also have an area of expertise?
He does. He does bankruptcies. And then along with Mr. Mannion does a lot of general things as well. But one of his focuses is bankruptcies.
So Mr. Wheelock focuses on bankruptcy.
Right.
And Mr. Mannion focuses on the city of Lanesboro.
Okay. I'm not going to really try to explain it to you because you've exhibited an ability to not understand anything.
Let me just make a note here.
Yeah. This is when you're supposed to object.
If I had standing in this court, I would, but I'm sitting down, so I'm not gonna. So for those people who are listening in the studio audience or at home and who feel compelled because of the generous nature of Mr. Mannion and Mr. Wheelock Esquires in their support of the program, who would like to turn around and share some of that munificence back
would
with them.
Would you get to it? You sound like a lawyer.
Do they take new clients?
Yes, they absolutely take new clients, and we would be happy to do so.
And what are your hours?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It is a law firm, so it's very typical of other businesses like that. 8 to 5, Monday through Friday.
You consider that typical of businesses in Lanesboro?
Well, okay, it's not 8 to 3.
Or
10 to 2 and right. every Thursday
right.
off.
Right, 10 to 2 with an hour off for lunch.
Yeah, and then yeah. we close at 3, so right. good. So 8 to 5, Monday through right. Friday, people who have need of an attorney could certainly seek out Mr. Mannion and or Mr. Wheelock and rest assured that they would be also having contact with the paralegal in that office.
Right, because I sit in the front of the office right near the door.
That must be a thrill for you.
It is pretty exciting, and it's a thrill for all the folks that come in, frankly. I am eye candy.
Is that anything like I am robot? I think for those of you listening at home, Mr. Pressman is dressed in wrinkled khaki shorts and a white button-up
wrinkled shirt
with sandals.
Interestingly, apparently I take my fashion tips from you.
Clearly, except that you'll notice I'm wearing the black shirt.
Oh, excuse me.
But interestingly, he has not put on a significant additional poundage in the 16 years that I've known him. So he very well could pass for eye candy were you not dazzled by the brilliance of the sheen of his pate.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
I think that we can make the announcement now that Mr. Mannion may be revisiting his sponsorship of this program.
Well,
maybe you should check with Joe Herrick. Maybe he'll sponsor you.
I have been written into his will.
Okay,
he said he'd remember me. Mr. Herrick, may he rest in peace, left us last year. At any rate, please extend my thanks to Tom and to Jay for their support in not only funding a portion of this program, but in loaning your very skilled talents to this show. Damon Pressman, Mannion Wheelock Attorneys, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, I'll tell you that.
Eye candy? Oh, my God. Is there a dentist in the audience?
that sponsor interview, boy, that guy was really intelligent and witty.
Yeah, too bad the guest couldn't keep up. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage our youth musical guest, Morgan Ming. Morgan Ming, ladies and gentlemen. Well, as is our custom, we like to chat with our youth musical guests. Morgan, what was the name of the tune you were playing?
The Pumpkin Boogie.
The Pumpkin Boogie. It had a boogie beat to it. And how long have you been playing the piano?
6 years.
And who do you take lessons from?
Stella.
Stella?
Burt.
Stella Burt, the artistic director of the show?
Yes.
How'd you get on the show?
I don't know.
Okay, good. What grade are you going into?
Sixth.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
Are you having a good summer, Morgan?
Yeah.
Are you scared?
Not really.
Okay. Just wondering why you're a little tentative there, a little tenuous. I promise not to bite. Damon bites. Oh, yeah, let me write that down. And so what do you hope to do with your piano playing by the time you're done?
I hope to be really good.
And if you're really good, what will you do?
Keep playing throughout my life.
Okay. So this is a lifelong passion, piano?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming out. Will you come back and join us some other time, Morgan?
Probably.
Okay. Great. Happy 4th of July, Morgan.
Happy 4th of July.
Morgan Ming, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's time for news and notes. Should we crank up the beacon?
Uh-oh, I'm on beacon duty.
You're on beacon duty?
I am on beacon duty.
Okay.
And now it's time for news and notes!
You were on what? You were on, that was beacon duty?
Yeah, that was
that
beacon.
That was duty, I'll tell you that. Don't step in it, it's all I got to say.
Beacon duty. You get what you pay for, mister.
I suppose. Well, tonight, as always, headlines this week from our Post Bulletin, the biggest and best daily newspaper in the Root River Valley and all over southeastern Minnesota. In Monday's Post Bulletin, you can read about how an old barn at the History Center of Olmsted County could become a new place for plays, weddings, and events and could help bring in a little revenue to support the center. Okay, I'm looking for that for Monday. There's medical news in the weekend Post Bulletin. Regenerative medicine is transforming the field. Hansel, the Post Bulletin's man at the Mayo Clinic beat, reports on how it's becoming a specialty in Rochester. Also in the weekend edition, the Post Bulletin's Lanesboro-based reporter Laura Horahan tells the story of our own Lanesboro folks who love rhubarb. With the help of their friends over at Spring Grove Soda Pop, they came up with a rhubarb strawberry soda that's proved popular. You might still be able to find a bottle around town. Actually, probably right across the street at Lanesboro Local when it opens tomorrow. If you don't despair. The Post Bulletin reports they plan to bottle more in the future. It's tasty indeed. Tuesday, read about the lady who's selling locally sourced baked goods at Rochester's, Thursdays on 1st and 3rd, and her fairly new business based in the Winona area. All this, plus Harley Flathers, local news from Fillmore County and all over the area, plus bundles of coupons for just 50 cents a day. It's hard to find a better deal. To get the paper at home, call 1-800-562-1758. And that's news and notes from the Post Bulletin. And just before we welcome our special musical guest to the microphone, I do have a couple of really fast facts here, Damon. This you'll be happy to know.
All right.
That I was doing some research about the American Revolution and the role of our peoples in it.
Sure.
You'd be happy to know that there were actually 100 Jews in the American Revolution.
I am happy to know that.
100. Not 101, not 99.
Exactly
100 Jews in the American Revolution. They cut it off at 100.
I see. Oh, okay. I understand.
Francis Salvador was the first Jew to die in that fight.
Francis Salvador?
Salvador. He was a Spanish Jew. Was,
they have those?
Yeah, they're called Sephardic.
I'm sorry, can you say that on the radio?
I can say Sephardic on the radio, yes.
Okay.
I can also say Ashkenazi, but he wasn't Ashkenazi, he was Sephardic, which means he's descended from the Moorish Jews.
Okay, moving along.
Okay, good. And you'll probably want to know that Peter Salem...
Did you notice how the air in the room has just gone...
Got sucked
whoosh,
out?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was the death thing, you know, you don't really want to talk about dying, but everybody who was connected with the American Revolution is dead now.
Really?
It's a total fact.
Oh, interesting.
Everybody
did you get that off of Wikipedia?
I did, but you know how hard I had to hunt for it? I had to hunt really, really hard. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the microphone on the stage, Mike McAbee, our special musical guest.
Hi, everybody. Thanks. Would it be forward of me to say that your people put the Jew in 4th of July?
Gosh, I don't know. Let me get back to you on that.
Otherwise, it would have been the 4th of Gentile lie. This is
which is how Dylan Thomas wanted us to go into that good night.
All right.
Gentile lie. Yeah. Okay. Oh, those are all the jokes we got. That's it.
My name's Mike, everybody. Yeah, I'll be playing here Wednesday. I'll be doing a concert, and I got a new album out this year. And this is a song off my new album. It's about how I hit a deer. It's called I Hit a Deer. And it's a sing-along song. So whenever I say I hit a deer, you're supposed to go, he hit a deer. So I hit a deer.
He hit a deer.
That's awesome. Thanks. All right. It's a true story. September 18th, 2008, I was working my lawnmower at my Frankville estate because the grass is getting taller and I was running out of good weather. When I decided what I needed was a float for the carb as I looked at all the parts laying around my backyard. With any kind of luck, I'd get the whole thing back together. And that summer, I hadn't got to ride my motorcycle once because it had been in the shop for 2.5 months. So, of course, I decided that I wanted to ride it into town. I was wearing cut-off jeans and an old T-shirt, and I was covered in gasoline and dirt as I kicked the motor over and I kicked the shifter down. I don't want to explain my motorcycle to you. It's a purple Yamaha built in 1972. It's 200 cc's and it goes 50 miles an hour at best. I got it for free 20 years ago from a guy named Peter, and it smells and it sounds like a big weed eater, and it'll hold two Asians or one white guy from the Midwest. It was running almost better than it had before. It only died once or twice on the way down to the store, and after getting passed by everybody and their brother, I was there in no time. I got a float for the car, but put the float in the sack. I had a drink at the Haymarket, and I started on back, snaking my way up the hill on Highway 9. where I hung a ride to the Three Light Hill, only 5 more miles to downtown Frankville, when I saw something moving kind of fast down to the right-hand ditch. So I said, better than open the throttle wide and get way over on the left-hand side, or I was going to wind up the ketchup on a venison sandwich. He had a big old rack, and he was hauling ass. He was giving it hell, and I was giving it gas. I was just trying to make sure that the two of us didn't hit. Or I'm thinking that I'm not going to hit him. Do I probably won't hit him? Do I might not hit him? Do I just might hit him? Then I bypassed. I'm going to hit him, and I went right to, oh, golly. And I hit a deer.
He hit a deer.
And I flew over him in 10 feet through the sky, landing in the right-hand lane on my right-hand side. And they say I rolled about 10 more feet on down the right-hand lane. I hit a deer.
He hit a deer.
And he ran away. When I woke up, I realized I probably wasn't dead, and the blacktop was doing laps in my head, and the people in the cars behind me called 911. I tried to stand up, and they told me I shouldn't. Then I tried to walk around a bit, and I realized I couldn't, so I just lay back down, chatting and waiting for the ambulance to come. Fire chief and his girlfriend were there lickety-split, and then the cops and the ambulance and all that stuff, and they were looking me over, and they were strapping me down to the stretcher. At the hospital, they said I probably had internal bleeding, and there was a couple more tests that I'd be needing, so I should stay overnight. And I said, well, how much is it to stay overnight in a hospital, doctor? And the doctor said, I don't know. And I said, well, you're a doctor. You ought to know how much it is to stay overnight in a hospital. And then the emergency room nurse said it was about $2,000, so I told him I was doing a lot better. The doctor said it wasn't open for discussion. I had a bruised kidney and a mild concussion, and I was covered in road rash from my toes to my lips. And that was reason enough that I shouldn't go home, not to mention my separated collarbone and the bones that I cracked in my knee and in my hip. But I told the doctor I'd be back the next day at $2,000. I just couldn't stay, and Jimmy and Renee drove me out to the Walmart, where they dropped me off in the fire lane, and I got some bandages and a brand new cane, and it was the only time I ever got to ride the electric cart. Jimmy stayed overnight at my house just to make sure I didn't wake up freaking out with a brain seizure, and he went off to work a little bit after sunrise. The fire department guys brought me brats and buns and chips left over for when the picnic was done. You know, the kind of stuff you should be eating when you're sitting around in butt for 2 weeks and you can't get any exercise. So I canceled the tour I had planned for out west, and I rented some movies, and I hoped for the best, and I just lay there wishing I could drive, but I knew I didn't dare. But I hobbled out to the yard, I put the float on the mower, and I adjusted the carburetor, and I drove it all over, and it turns out the lawnmower makes a kick-ass wheelchair. Because I hit a deer.
He hit a deer!
And I got health insurance, but it really sucks. So the whole incident cost me $4,000. And my motorcycle's fixed, but I sold it anyway. I hit a deer.
He hit a deer.
And he ran away.
Mike McAbee, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, everybody.
Mike McAbee. Well, it's traditional always to chat with our guests between their first and subsequent numbers. And
sure.
We're right at that point right there.
All right.
So, Mike, in addition to the concert this Wednesday night, which is at 7:30 right here on this stage, what else is coming up for you?
Well, right after the show, I got to get back to the campground down there and finish the show I started down there at 5.
So you're just on a break then, are you?
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, we set up the equipment, me and my fiancé, Mike. I'm getting married this year to Micah.
Woo. All right.
All right.
Why don't you introduce your fiancé and we'll describe her for the folks at home.
What'd you say?
Introduce your fiancé and we'll describe her for the folks at home.
Okay, this is Micah. You want me to describe her? Maybe you should.
You just introduce her and I'll describe her.
Okay.
Oh, this maybe we should switch that around.
This is Micah, my fiance. We're going to get married in October. It's going to be Mike and Micah McAbee.
Mike and Micah McAbee. And if you're listening at home and you're not here, shame on you. Micah is a lovely young lady, kind of like a short bob blonde hair, very attractive top, and
really
a
big,
really winning personality. And she said yes to Mike. So
she's got a nice set of eyes.
She has a great set of eyes. A great set of eyes. And I think we've just about embarrassed her because she's now turned a wonderful shade of pink. On her way to red. She's
on her way back down to the campground.
She is indeed. Unplugging Sorry. Things as she goes. Well, Sorry. Mike, it's great to have you.
Oh, yeah, it's and great to be back.
Let's have some more music. What the heck?
Okay, sure, yeah. This song I play, it's by a guy named Dave Alvin from California. It's probably 25 years old. Oh, no, Dave Alvin. Cool. And this is a song's called 4th of July, and it's I sing it on the 4th of July, so I figured I'd do it here. So. Thank you.
She's waiting for me when I get home from work. Oh, but things just ain't the same. She turns out the lights and cries in the dark, and she won't answer when I call her name. Along the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. Mexican kids are shooting fireworks below. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. She gives me a cheek when I want lips. Oh, but I don't have the strength to go on the lost side of town in a dark apartment. We gave up trying so long ago. Well, on the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. Mexican kids are shooting fireworks below. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. July. Whatever happened, I apologize. Riot tears and baby, walk outside. It's the 4th of July. On the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. Mexican kids are shooting fireworks below. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, 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 take a look outside. It's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July.
Mike McAbee with the 4th of July. Woo!
Thanks.
All right. You got another one, I hope.
One more?
Oh, please.
Okay, sure. I was thinking I'd do like one of my older songs to like give people an idea what the show is going to be like on Wednesday in case they're around.
Good, good.
And this is off my, let's see, what should I do? I'll do a song. This is off my first, well, I'll do a song off my second CD. This is about Baroque, Iowa. Anybody ever been to Baroque?
Yeah, woo!
I just played Laura Ingalls Wilder's Days there last weekend, and it was awesome, but she wasn't there. So
she was jamming with those folks in Revolution.
Do you know what Laura Ingalls Wilder said when she finally got to South Dakota?
No.
She said, "I don't know. Somehow I just feel like I'm settling." She's a
you
settler.
You can stay.
I made that up myself.
I like it.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm laughing on the inside.
Cool. So that song's about how every house in decor right now is about, even after the housing crunch, is still about $85,000. But you can always buy a trailer up in Baroque for about $10,000. Because now Baroque, it's still a nice little town, but it's mostly trailer park with a bar. So I went out to find a place to live and I took a look around. There's nothing for less than $80,000 in town. And they're all being bought up by retired city folk. But at least I can still afford a trailer in Baroque. Cause there's always one in the paper for under $20,000. That might sound like quite a bit, but you gotta understand that even though it's narrow and the lot may not be flat in Decorah, you can't even buy a pickup truck for that. A trailer in Baroque, a trailer in Baroque. Your home is still your castle, even if you're broke.
Now some would say I'm crazy, but they could never see good enough for Laura Ingalls Wilder's good enough for me. Now $80,000 is the cheapest house in town, and to get that I'd be needing at least $16,000 down. That wouldn't be a big problem if I didn't pay my rent and I had no phone or car or life and lived out of a tent, or I could work the third shift for a little extra pay and then do the very best I could to save it all away. But if I punched it at midnight every night just like the moon, I'd drink away that extra pay from 8 a.m. to noon. Ah, but I could go up to Baroque and buy myself a trailer just like the kind you see pictured of the dollar stretcher mailer and pay it off in 7 years and be a couch potato, buy myself a helmet just in case there's a tornado. A trailer in Baroque, trailer in Baroque, really is an option, it isn't just a joke. Now some would say I'm crazy, but they can never see good enough for 75 McCabe's is good enough for me. Freeport's too close, Dorchester's too far, Highlandville would be okay, but they don't got a bar. I like to think I could drink and make it down to Norness intact, but they took away that option when they took out the railroad tracks. A trailer in Baroque, a trailer in Baroque, really is an option, it isn't just a joke. Now some would say I'm crazy, but they can never see good enough for Michael Landon, it's good enough for me.
Mike McAbee, ladies and gentlemen. Mike McAbee, right here Wednesday night, 7:30 on our stage. Don't miss him. Congratulations, Mike. Many happy returns in the marriage. Thanks for joining us. Happy 4th. You're listening to Over the Back Fence, a Commonwealth Theatre Company program live from the Commonwealth Theatre in beautiful downtown Lanesboro on KFIL Preston 1060 AM and 103.1 FM. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll hear poetry from our resident laureate, David Hennessy.
We'll also hear this year's first installment of Sam Spade, Feline Detective.
Over the Back Fence is underwritten by Houston Dental Clinic, where your smile makes them happiest, and sponsored by Pedal Pushers Cafe,
Coffee Street Fitness,
the Cottage House Inn,
Rhino's Pizza and Sub
Los
Shop,
Gobles,
Stone Mill Suites,
Olivia's Attic,
Lanesboro Local Market,
Mannion and Wheelock Attorneys,
Little River General Store,
Riverside on the Root Restaurant,
the Lanesboro Lions,
the Preston
Club,
Apple and Berry Farm,
the Rochester Post Bulletin,
and Associated Bank Lanesboro. We invite you to come down and join us live Sundays at 7, but if you can't, listen home on 1060 AM or 103.1 on your FM radio dial. Well, here it is, the 4th of July, and we celebrate not only the birth of the nation, but, you know, there were lots of little ups and downs in our 200-plus years. One of the biggest downs happened in the middle of the last century, 2 centuries ago. We're in now the 21st century, but in the middle of the 19th century, this country engaged in a struggle that really tested the fabric of the nation. I'm talking, of course, about the Civil War, and much has been written about it, including a musical by Greg Boyd and Frank Wildhorn, with lyrics by Jack Murphy and music by Wildhorn. The musical centers on the Civil War, and it's got musical numbers portraying the war through the Union, Confederate, and slave viewpoints. And now I'd like to welcome to the microphone Steph Dickens with a number from the Civil War. Steph Dickens, ladies and gentlemen.
In one bed, a young man, Company K, 7th Maine. Sick with dysentery and typhoid fever, pretty critical case. I talk with him often. He thinks he will die. Looks like it, too. I let him talk to me a little, but not much. Advise him to keep very quiet, do most of the talking myself. Stay quite a while with him as he holds on to my hand. Talk to him in a cheering but slow, low and measured manner. Talk about his furlough and going home as soon as he is able to travel. He suffers horribly, has to be constantly dosed with morphine, his face ashy and glazed, bright young eyes. He asked me to read to him a chapter in the New Testament, how Christ rose again. I read very slowly, for he was feeble. It pleased him very much, yet there were tears in his eyes. He asked me if I enjoyed religion. I said, perhaps not in the way you mean. He said, it is my chief reliance. He talked of death and said he did not fear it. I said, don't you think you will get well? He said, I may, but it is not likely. And he turned his face away from me and died.
I never knew his name.
to me, pleading with his eyes, suddenly so wise, trying not to cry. Now he's gone and I never knew his name. I've seen his kind before, rising to his fall. God, he was so young, like a song half sung, interrupted by someone just as shy, who never knew his name. Of honor is suddenly too clear. It measures to full and dear. He always looks the same, dressed in blue or gray. Try, unaware that I never knew his name. Just as well, so I do my part, hiding from my heart, whispering goodbye, thanking God that I never knew his name.
Steph Dickens, I never knew his name. Lovely song. And now please welcome to the microphone, Over the Back Fence's own poet laureate, David Hennessy.
I thought it would be appropriate to read some of the opening stanzas of Paul Revere's Ride by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Listen, my children, and you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere. On the 18th of April in 75, hardly a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friend, "If the British march by land or sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern aloft in the belfry arch of the North Church Tower as a signal light, one if by land and two if by sea. And I, on the opposite shore, will be ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm for the country folk to be up and to arm." Then he said good night, and with muffled oar silently rowed to the Charleston shore. Just as the moon rose over the bay where swinging wide at her moorings lay the Somerset, British man of war, a phantom ship with each mast and spar across the moon like a prison bar, and a huge black hulk that was magnified by its own reflection in the tide. Meanwhile, his friend, through alley and street, wanders and watches with eager ears, till in the silence around him, he hears the muster of men at the barrack door, the sound of arms, and the tramp of feet, and the measured tread of the grenadiers marching down to their boats on the shore. Then he climbed the tower of the old North Church by the wooden stairs with stealthy tread to the belfry chamber overhead and startled the pigeons from their perch on the somber rafters that round him made masses and moving shapes of shade. By the trembling ladder, steep and tall, to the highest window in the wall, where he paused to listen and look down a moment on the roofs of the town and the moonlight flowing over all. Beneath in the churchyard lay the dead in their night encampment on the hill, wrapped in silence so deep and still that he could hear, like a sentinel's tread, the watchful night wind as it went creeping along from tent to tent and seeming to whisper, "All is well." A moment only he feels the spell of the place and the hour and the secret dread of the lonely belfry and the dead, for suddenly all his thoughts are bent on a shadowy something far away where the river widens to meet the bay, a line of black that bends and floats on the rising tide like a bridge of boats. Meanwhile, impatient to mount and ride, booted and spurred with a heavy stride, on the opposite shore walked Paul Revere. Now he patted his horse's side. Now he gazed at the landscape far and near. Then, impetuous, stamped the earth and turned and tightened his saddle girth. But mostly he watched with eager search the belfry tower of the old North Church as it rose above the graves on the hill, lonely and spectral and somber and still. And lo, as he looks on the belfry's height, a glimmer, and then a gleam of light. He springs to the saddle, the bridle he turns, but lingers and gazes till full on his sight a second lamp in the belfry burns. A hurry of hoofs in a village street, a shape in the moonlight, a bulk in the dark, and beneath, from the pebbles in passing, a spark struck out by a steed flying fearless and fleet. That was all. And yet, through the gloom and the light and the fate of a nation was riding that night. And the spark struck out by that steed in his flight kindled the land into flame with its heat.
David Hennessy, poet laureate. Please welcome back the Over the Back Fence gang with Chester. The Over the Back Fence Gang with Chester. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage the Commonweal Radio Theater of the Air with this year's first installment of Sam Spade, Feline Detective.
The subprime market had collapsed, taking with it the pension funds of many in the world's economy. The automakers, banks, and big insurance had received taxpayers' monies as a bailout. Approximately 1 out of 12 Americans were out of work, and as a result, Arizona had passed the most stringent anti-immigration laws in United States history. With world news at an all-time low point, what's a private dick to do? Let's check in with America's favorite feral Snoop, and now for another season of Sam Spade, feline detective.
Lounging poolside, dipping my paws idly in the perfectly cool azure blue, slightly chlorinated water, I let my mind drift to daydreams I'd held in high school, piloting my own three-masted schooner through the Lesser Antilles, lunching on fruits picked fresh from the tree, surrounded by four of the most glorious kittens to ever drape a deck. A seal point Siamese, a Belgian, and two sleek Abyssinians, whose haunches went all the way down, each dropping a tidy tidbit of citrus heaven into my gaping maw. Oh, yes, drop me another. And you, stroke the underside of my jaw, softly, softly, yes, yes, yes. And now you, use those sharp, sharp claws of yours to scratch behind my left ear. Oh, yes, yes, yes. And now if you could, yes, that's it. Oh, lick me there. Oh, yes, just there. Please, please, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Bing. Your time is up. To continue, please deposit another $2. Your time is up. To continue, please. Isn't that always the way with my daydreams? Just when I think that cool puke. Cute pool cat's making eyes at me. Bring!
Sam! Sam, are you daydreaming again? Pick up Sam, please. Sam! Sam!
All right, May, I'm up. I'm up.
If it's anything like your usual daydreams, I have no doubt. You've got a visitor here.
Did you tell him I'm indisposed?
Well, that's a sure a fancy name for it. Wait, let me get that down. Indisposed.
With the job market the way it is.
I ought to hold the sarcasm down to a dull roar. Sam, you know you can't get along without me. What should I do about your visitor?
Tell him...
Her.
Her? Why didn't you say so? Do I know her? What's she like? Rich? Attractive?
Large Marge.
Large Marge? You woke me for Large Marge? Large Marge was a white Himalayan whose main focus in life was dominating my friend Moses. Now, far be it from me to cast aspersion on anyone's choice of special friend. But in the first place, I'm not sure Moses had a choice. It's not like with Large Marge anyone has a choice. And in the second place, she was a bit overbearing. Maybe you can...
Tell her myself, Sam, while you were rambling to the listeners...
The overbearing one was making her way into this booze-riddled sty you call your office.
Marge, how nice to see you. Won't you...
Cut the crap, Spade. I'll sit if and when I'm damn good and ready to.
To what do I owe this,
Honor? Geez, Spade, you're so full of it. I'd be afraid to bump into you at the pub for fear it would leak all over my beautiful coat. Do you have any idea what dry cleaning costs since the market went all Tierra del Fuego on us?
All right, Marge, what is it?
I'm worried about Moses.
And this is news how?
Look, you adolescent piece of turd. I know you care less for me than the scrapings off your claws, but Moses is supposed to be your friend, and I've seen neither hair nor hide of him for 3 weeks.
Moses is my friend, and the fact that you haven't seen him for 3 weeks, while it fills me with some degree of hope for his sanity that you've been apart that long, I am troubled by this bit of news.
Well, whatever you do, don't turn into a quivering mass of blubbering emotional jelly.
I'll look into it. When did you see him last?
Like I said, I kissed him goodbye 3 weeks ago, just before he went to his new job.
What new job?
Some friend you are. He's gone to work for Skenny Moiney at River Cats Outfitters.
Skenny Moiney? Are you sure? I didn't even know he opened a new business.
Some detective you are.
Anything else I can do for you? Otherwise, good day to you, madam.
What are you gonna do?
My job. I said good day. Say, doll, I'm...
Going out for a while. Hold all your calls. Sure, Sam. And I called Rivercats, but the high school kitty at the desk said she had no idea where Skinny was.
What, did you ask?
Ask if he was on the river or had a party going out? Yeah, but she said there was nothing on the books.
Well, then I guess...
You'll just have to follow the usual routine and stroll the streets hoping to catch sight of Skinny. Got it.
Thanks, doll. See you. Skinny was kind of a town character. Not all at once, but over time. He was reputed to be a CIA agent, undercover for the FBI, a narco for the Chicago PD, and for all I knew, deep into military black ops. What I knew for sure was that he'd been humping canoes for years for the little mud pie-specific store, but had finally branched out on his own. Now all I had to do was find him. As I passed by the patchouli-laden air emanating from the Lanesboro Doughboy Chape, a familiar ring rang out.
Tavarich, we get?
Skinny, I've been looking for you.
I've been looking for you, too. Wait till you hear this.
If it's the joke about the Indian who thinks he's a wigwam, then a teepee, then a wigwam, then a teepee, only to find out he's two tents, I've heard it.
No, it's not that.
Or the Foreign Legion jokes. That's pretty good, but most of us just ride it into town to the local brothel.
Not that.
Or you don't want to get an ugly one, do you?
Are you going to let me tell it?
Do I have a choice?
So it seems there's this civic-minded kitty, a real looker, who decided she'd take the law into her own hands.
Yeah?
So she gets a special spandex outfit with stars and stripes, trains real hard, and gets to be a real crime fighter, and begins to call herself Super Pussy.
Yeah?
Finally, she hears about a break-in at the old cat's assisted living place and rushes to answer the call. She gets to the old cat's home, rushes into this cat's room, bursts in, and announces Super Pussy is here. And the old cat looks at her, blinks, and says,
I'll take the soup. Yeah, terrific. Say, Skinny, seen Hider here at Moses?
I heard he was bunking in with a couple old cats who had a room to let. Speaking of which, did you hear
about... Skinny, got to run. And with that, I strolled to City Hall to learn about where Moses might be hanging out his shingle. Seems the two old farts, Ace and Monty, had just rebuilt one of those 80-plus-year-old homes and were in the market for a sublease. I hiked up to a massive three-story structure with a spectacular view of the North Bluff. I knocked on the door. It creaked open.
Yes? May I help you?
Who is it? Who is it? Who is it?
Hold your horses. That's what I'm trying to find out.
What?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
What?
Never mind. You are...
Spade.
Sorry to hear that. Recent?
What?
Spade.
Who is it?
He says he's Spade.
What?
He's Spade.
That's too bad.
How long have you been that way?
What way?
Spade.
All my life.
How long's he been like that?
What?
Spade.
He says all his life.
What? He must have had a pretty crappy youth.
What?
He says that must have been... Oh, sorry. He says that must have been a crappy youth.
What?
Being Spade.
Well, it's been in the family forever.
You're all like that?
What's he say?
He says his family's been like that forever.
How's it possible to even have a family after that?
After what?
What?
He wants to know what?
What?
Never mind. After being Spade.
No. That's my name. Sam Spade. Like the shovel?
Oh, or the car?
Yep.
Or the...
Yeah. You got it.
How can we help?
I'm looking for my friend Moses. I understand he's renting some space from you.
You could say that. We lease him the basement level.
Is that poor ballless fella still here?
Yes, but he's just leaving.
Well, what did he want?
He's looking for Moses.
But we haven't seen him in 3 days.
I'm just about to tell him that.
Oh.
And now you know. We haven't seen him in 2 or 3 days.
Well, and with that, the door closed quickly and loudly in my face. Thanks, I think. As I began to stroll back into town, wondering where my good buddy Moses had got to, and letting myself be distracted by the fragrant aroma of black caps ripening on the vine, I heard a whisper from a dense thicket of undergrowth.
Hey, you, Spade. I hear you're looking for that no-account Moses.
Yes, I am. What do you know about it?
Come over here and I'll tell you.
As I leaned closer into the thick vegetation, I felt a sharp thwack on the back of my head, and then nothing.
Who is this mysterious voice in the thicket? Where has Moses gotten to? What did he ever see in Large Marge? Will our hero get to the bottom of this mess? Will he even wake up? And how large will that bump be on his head? Don't miss the next action-packed installment of Sam Spade, Feline Detective.
The Commonwealth Radio Theater of the Air. Damon Presterman, Stella Burt, David Hennessy, Bonnie Hulsing, Steph Dickens, David Mann, and yours truly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as we approach the end of our 4th of July show, I would ask that those of you in the studio audience who are veterans or who have relatives serving the armed forces, please stand while we begin a sing-along with God Bless America. So if you are a veteran or you have family in the armed forces now, please stand and be recognized as we sing God Bless America to you.
While the storm clouds gather,
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land that's fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. Everybody.
Everybody.
God bless America. Land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with
That's our show for tonight. Thanks to Mike McAbee, Morgan Ming, David Pressman of Mannion & Wheelock, the Over the Back Fence Gang, Carolyn Fries, David Moan, Steph Dickens, our artistic director, Stella Burt, Captain Bob Petrullo, glamorous Glenn Jensen, marvelous Maddie Haugen, and Jazz and Jason Enderforth. We hope you had a good time this week. Please join us next week for our Neighbors Show. Thanks, everybody. Have a fabulous 4th of July.
God bless America.